listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, it is our annual coaching carousel. Five teams have openings. We'll get five experts on to make five predictions on who will be coaching your team in 2023. And then also at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, as we inch closer and closer to divisional round weekend in the NFL, a game that I will be in attendance for on Saturday night, the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the New York Football Giants. We will tap in to the City of Brotherly Love and welcome in their afternoon host on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And that, of course, is a fellow CBS Sports Radio host on the weekends as well, in the great Johnny Marks. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
So there's no doubt about it in my mind that the relationship between Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens is coming to a close. The question just becomes, when does Lamar get traded? And we've gone through these scenarios before. The Ravens could trade him this offseason once they apply the franchise tag on him. Or they could say, Lamar, you're going to play this season on the franchise tag, and you could put on the show of trying, as I say that in air quotes, to get a long-term deal done. You don't get a long-term deal done. It's very rare a player will hold out an entire season or miss any games at all, especially with how the new CBA is structured. So you could see Lamar playing again for the Ravens next year, and then after next season, you slap the franchise tag on him again, and then going into next offseason, that is when you start to trade him. But I do believe there is a very real chance, and maybe even a good chance, that Lamar Jackson gets traded this offseason. And I don't know necessarily where Lamar is at in terms of, does he want that to happen this offseason or next offseason? But I think Lamar, through some of the social media posts and just the way that he's handled this entire situation, I'm not saying he's in the wrong, you get a vibe that he's very frustrated and very annoyed with the organization. And I do believe that he would prefer to go elsewhere, because you see the way that they've not been able to get him a bona fide number one wide receiver. You've seen the way that ever since the draft, when he was in the know on the Marquise Hollywood Brown trade, how he was clearly very annoyed at the organization. And even the other day, he puts out that social media post saying, when you have something great, you better appreciate it. And he doesn't feel like he's being appreciated, whether it's with the product on the offensive side of the ball or if it's the way that his contract situation has been taken care of or hasn't been taken care of. And I'm not saying that the Lamar Jackson is in the wrong necessarily, like totally. I think there's blame to go around on both sides. And I think Lamar is at the point where he's fed up and he's ready to move on. And I don't believe that the Ravens, since they really haven't given from what we could tell, that great of an effort to get this deal done, would be all that annoyed if Lamar Jackson came to them and said, I want this relationship to end. And you just look at the signs, whether it's the Roquan Smith contract, whether it's not getting him a number one wide receiver, whether it's not getting a deal done, there are ample amount of concrete, firm evidence signs that tell you the Ravens aren't rushing to get this deal done, and whatever they're offering Lamar, Lamar isn't satisfied with. And I think it goes both ways. I really do. Because the way that the Ravens tried to make this out to be over the summer was when Lamar wants to have a conversation, we're ready to get a deal done. And Lamar comes out and says, I'm ready to get a deal done, and no deal got done. So whether you want to say that's because of the Watson contract or whether it's because of the Kyler Murray contract or whatever it may be, this is now two full off seasons where a deal hasn't been able to get done. If a third time is a charm, I would be stunned. I would be shocked. Because the first offseason, I got why Lamar didn't want to get a deal done. Last offseason, I didn't understand why a deal didn't get done. And you also parlay that in with the reactions from draft night. And then after this season, I would have a tough time thinking with the way that emotions are clearly playing a role in this. And if Lamar's not getting what he wants, and he's already perturbed, and I think it's safe to say he is perturbed with the organization, that all of a sudden the Ravens this offseason are going to swoop in and make Lamar an offer that he's happy about. And I kind of get it on Lamar's side. I think a lot of people publicly are going to say, well, the Ravens are a great organization. You got to trust John Harbaugh. You got to trust Eric DaCosta. And yes, Lamar won a unanimous MVP, but Lamar has barely had any postseason success. I think a lot of us forget how young the career is so far of Lamar Jackson. Not everyone goes in first year, first three, four, 5 years in the league and wins a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not comparing Lamar to Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning by far and away is a much better quarterback. But do people forget all the postseason struggles that Peyton Manning had, who ended up winning two Super Bowls in his career? So look at John Elway, who didn't win until the end of his career. And I'm not saying Lamar is on that level of John Elway and Peyton Manning, three totally different quarterbacks. But Lamar is a superstar in this league. I do think Lamar is a great player in this league. And for everyone that knocks him for the arm talent, or what some people think is the lack of it, has he been put in a position to succeed? That's my question. And other than Mark Andrews, who has been his great target to throw the football to? Like, Rashad Bateman hasn't worked out. Sammy Watkins was a big plan a few years ago. Like, you look at the players that they brought in, they have not got him a legit weapon like what Tua got with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. What Jalen Hurts got with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. What Josh Allen got with Stephon Diggs. And Lamar was still able to win an MVP unanimously because of how athletic and how great of a player that he could be. So I think Lamar looks at this and he says, well, they're not paying me what I want. They're not getting me a number one wide receiver. I know the team, including myself, has been hit with an injury bug, but the way that they're trying to win games now goes back to the early 2000s. And don't get me wrong, if you want to win a Super Bowl in this league and you shouldn't care about your stats, but when you are a superstar and you look at the team basically saying, just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and we're going to have the defense try to hold everyone under 20 points, and we'll win games that way, 17-14, 20-17, for a player that is as explosive as Lamar, that's not the most appealing thing in the world. And nothing against this defense. This Ravens defense is good, but it's not the early 2000 Ravens defense. So I do think the Ravens, in some way, are holding Lamar back. But then for Lamar, I could see maybe a little bit why the Ravens are skeptical on paying him, because he's not happy with the team, but more importantly, the last 2 years, he hasn't been healthy. And you got to be available in this league. Now, the one thing I'll say, and why I think Lamar will look better here than the Baltimore Ravens, You let Lamar leave, good luck trying to find someone that could be in the same realm as Lamar Jackson. Good luck trying to find someone that could be better than Lamar Jackson. And I know Tyler Huntley, up until that fumble, played a good playoff game. I know Tyler Huntley, the last 2 years, people have said, done a good job. But it's not good enough. Because last year down the stretch, they missed the playoffs. This year, I know it was between Huntley and Brown when Lamar was hurt. That team crashed down the stretch. So he could look like he's playing well, Tyler Huntley. But are you winning games? And what's the objective? To win games in this league. So when we go into the destinations, there are some odds out on Lamar Jackson's next team. I was surprised by this favorite. The Patriots right now are the betting favorite at plus 400. Then you have the Jets at plus 500, the Falcons at plus 600, the Raiders at plus 600, the Niners at plus 700, Commanders at 700, Tennessee at plus 1800, and Carolina plus 1000. If I had to eliminate some teams here, I don't think the Patriots are making that move. I also don't think the Niners are making that move. But all the other teams that are there, you know, the Jets would be loving to go get a superstar. Atlanta, I think all the NFC South teams, I know it's only the Atlanta Falcons and the Panthers listed here, but throw the Saints in there as well. Remember, all three of those teams tried to go get Deshaun Watson. So they're willing to give the guaranteed contract or close to paying a big-time amount of money to a quarterback and giving up the draft capital that it would take to get Lamar Jackson. They were willing to do it for Deshaun. Why wouldn't they be willing to do it for Lamar Jackson, who doesn't come with all the horrible things off the field like Deshaun Watson does and did when he got traded to the Cleveland Browns? So I think those NFC South teams are in good position to go land him. But if you go outside of the NFC South, and I think all those NFC South teams, including Tampa, if Brady walks out the door, I think every NFC South team would be available. And it'll be a bidding war, once again, like it was last year for Deshaun Watson, except let's see if there is a Cleveland Browns team that does emerge outside of the NFC South. But you look at those teams, I think Commanders would be a wonderful destination. Tennessee would be interesting. Now, they don't have these great wide receivers, but you do have Derrick Henry. But I look at some other teams that stand out. The Dolphins, especially if Tua Tagovailoa, with the concussions, if that continues to be a concern, imagine Lamar getting the ball out to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Imagine the speed on that offense with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Lamar Jackson. I could already hear coordinators, defensive coordinators around the league taking Advil for the headache that would cause and that would stir. But then I look at the NFC, and this is another part of this. Like, you look in the AFC right now, which Lamar is in. You have Josh Allen for the foreseeable future. You have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence for the foreseeable future. Those are top names. You look at the NFC, we're talking about a year where Geno Smith this past year played like a top five quarterback. Where Jared Goff was like a top five quarterback in the NFC I'm talking about. There's an identity of great quarterbacks from years and years to come in the AFC. In the NFC, it's wide open. Like, Dak's a good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? I wouldn't say that yet. Jalen Hurts played like a great quarterback last year and this year. Was in line to go win an MVP before he got hurt. What is he going to be like moving on into the future? And I believe in Jalen Hurts. And I don't know how much longer Kirk Cousins is sticking around with the Minnesota Vikings. Is he a great quarterback? Absolutely not. He's just a good quarterback. Can Kyler Murray one day become a great quarterback? We'll see. Like, you go through the NFC, Brady and Rodgers, we don't even know where Brady's playing next year. We may not even know where Rodgers is playing. But even if they're both back with the Bucs and the Packers, not like they have this big window, and the Packers missed the playoffs last year, and the Bucs, if it wasn't for playing a dreadful division, would have missed the playoffs as well. So if I'm Lamar, not that it's the end-all, be-all, but you always hear how much winning a Super Bowl is important to Lamar. I think you get the best of both worlds. Give you the easier path to win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl, and you go get a ton of money and go play in the NFC where they're looking for someone to be the face of that conference for years and years to come. And you go through three of those teams I mentioned, like you see the Lions of Jared Goff, you see Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, you see Seattle with Geno Smith. I think all three of those guys are going to be back next year. Kirk's already under contract. Geno will get that deal done. Jared Goff's still under contract. You put Lamar Jackson on either of those three teams, I do look at those teams a little bit differently, especially Detroit and Seattle. So the way that you kind of look at this, in the AFC, the teams that really stand out, if I had to just give you three teams, I think the Jets would definitely be all in. I think the Raiders would definitely be all in. And I would then be intrigued by Miami. But in the NFC, I think there's more teams that would be interested. And I think you could make that price go up and up and up if you are the Baltimore Ravens in a trade market. And then Lamar, you have all the leverage because if a team just gave up like three first-round draft picks, I don't know what the cost would be, just spitballing here. And they're going to have to pay you. And go look in the NFC. You know, every team in the NFC South is going to be interested. You know the Commanders are going to be interested. And could you get another team to bite? I would think so. So if I'm Lamar, and I would think the Ravens would prefer this too, go to the NFC, where you'd have an easier path to get to the Super Bowl. And not only that, those teams are going to pay you whatever you want if they give up a king's ransom to go get you with all the draft picks. So I think Lamar's time, whether it's this year, this offseason, or next offseason, is coming to a close in Baltimore. The question is just which teams are really going to be involved and who do you feel most confident in to go execute a trade for Lamar Jackson, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hickey, give me like the first two teams that come to mind or the first few things that come to mind when we get into this destination conversation for Lamar Jackson.
In terms of teams, Commanders, Panthers stand out right away, right off the bat, because you talk about two teams that are desperate for a quarterback that have swung and missed a ton recently. I think, well, at least in the case of the Panthers, an owner who is very motivated and will, like, you
he'll
talk
be
about the
aggressive
price.
As could be.
Yes, and especially if you, let's say, I don't want to say save money, but if you go with Steve Wilkes, he's obviously a cheaper option salary-wise and draft capital-wise than Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to swing big and maybe you say, all right, we'll keep Steve Wilkes and now we have extra capital and extra money to go all in on Lamar and give him, you know, trade for him and give him a contract, I think that could work in his favor. And the Commanders, too. I mean, look, the Commanders are desperate for any sort of positivity.
But here's the tough part with the Commanders, as Jason Lucifer even said. You have a sale upcoming. We don't know when that sale's going to be finalized. We don't know when a new owner is going to emerge. If you're Dan Snyder walking out the door, are you going to make that decision, which you would think a future owner would be okay with, but without knowing if a future owner would be okay with that and how they view Lamar Jackson, I don't know if that impacts the sale of the team or not, but I wonder if you just get in a place, we're selling, so we're not going to go make a big, bold move like that. We'll let the next guy go do that.
Oh, I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares. He's going to do what he wants until he has.
But if he's out in 2-3 months, why would he do that? Why would he be motivated to do that? Why would he motivate the franchise to succeed moving forward? I guess ego-wise, you could say, that was
sold.
My last move.
He's actually going to sell. Like, that's also honestly part of it. I don't think he wants to sell. So I think he's going to do whatever it takes to keep the team for as long as possible. And if he's going out kicking and screaming, again, I think he'll at least try to get Lamar and maybe that have be some sort of good. I don't know. But I could definitely see the Commanders being in play for Lamar without a doubt.
Yeah, I think the Commanders would be a wonderful destination. But I think with the uncertainty about the future of Dan Snyder, it does make it especially cloudy. I really do believe someone in the NFC South is going to get him. Because Tampa would be extremely motivated if they lose Brady. You said what you said about Tepper, and I agree. Atlanta, they tried to get Watson last year. Did not work. Saints, maybe that's enough to keep Sean Payton there if they go get Lamar Jackson. And maybe Sean says, you know what? I don't love these destinations. You go get Lamar. I'll come coach for you next year. But I think all those teams in the NFC South, that's where it's going to start. Those are going to be your most desperate teams because they just went all in last year, and all of them got rejected trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. So I think it just makes it easier because you're ready to go. But if it's not in the NFC South, yeah, you mentioned the Commanders, and we talked about that. But you look at the AFC, like who are the teams that jump out to you in the AFC? Because for me, the first two teams I look at are really the Jets, the Raiders, and then the Dolphins, I think, are three intriguing teams. Jets feel like they're a quarterback away. Raiders, they got a ton of weapons, and it would be fun to see how Josh McDaniels would use Lamar Jackson, and then for the Dolphins, we've even talked about that. That would be like a dream Madden team with all the speed that they have on that offensive side of the ball.
If you're the Dolphins, though, are you going to trade for someone who's similar to Tua, has trouble staying on the field recently?
Good point. Now, I guess the better part of it is it's not a head injury and it's just, you know, leg and you know,
right,
knee
different
and
injuries,
ankle.
But also someone
still
who puts himself out there and is, you know, takes hits that is the reason why he's out. And again, 2 years in a row, biggest games of the year, he's not been on the field.
Yeah. And then here's the other part of this, too. How much, in a weird, like, I think Lamar is hurt. That's why he didn't play. But it is open up to interpretation. I do wonder what the truth is behind the scenes. And if a team like the Dolphins talks to Lamar and Lamar says, yeah, I could have played down the stretch. Now, that could annoy you because even though you're going to go out there and you're going to go pay this guy and you're going to give him a lot of money, you expect him to just play regardless. But you would think, okay, he was making a business decision there. And maybe it takes away from the actuality of what we thought the injury was and the severity of the injury. So I guess you could spitball this and make whatever arguments you want and go down that rabbit hole. And once you open up Pandora's box, you know what happens. But if I'm the Dolphins, yeah, I would be interested. But yeah, sure, there is that concern. If the guy can't stay healthy, then you give up a ton of assets. And what did you really have to show for it? But there are going to be teams interested. There's no doubt about it. Like, we've seen bad quarterbacks recently go for a lot more than what was expected on the trade market. And we know Lamar is unanimous MVP. And when healthy, he is one heck of a football player. Where's Lamar Jackson winding up? And when is he going to get dealt? If you do believe so, 855-212-4CBS. When we come on back, I got some concerns about Aaron Rodgers. We'll tell you about those next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's listen up to Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show.
Do I still think I can play? Of course. Of course. Can I play at a high level? Yeah. The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Right situation, is that Green Bay or is that somewhere else? I'm not sure. But I don't think you should shut down any, you know, opportunity. Like I said, during the season, it's got to be, you know, both sides, you know, like actually wanting, you know, to work together moving forward. And I think there's, you know, more conversations to be had. I think no player wants to be part of any type of rebuild. I said that years ago. Reloads are a lot of fun because you feel like you're close. You're only a couple guys away.
Hickey, you know what makes Rodgers insufferable? Maybe a lot of things. But just keeping it from a football sense. For years and years and years, you could blame the special teams. You could blame the defense. You could blame not having the proper weapons. But the last three seasons, whatever excuses you want to make, here are the facts. Aaron Rodgers in that loss up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his defense picked off Tom Brady three times in the second half. Aaron Rodgers had opportunities. Two drives, down five. Three and out, three and out. Could have taken the lead. Then we all talk about that last drive, which everyone blames Matt LaFleur. Well, Rodgers stalled in the red zone. How about you convert? How about you don't leave it up to that decision? But in that year, it was blamed on Matt LaFleur. Then you go back to last year. People blame the special teams. Rodgers' offense, one touchdown, opening drive. After that, he went for Davante Adams when he had, I believe, Alan Lazard wide open. Cost him. And then this year, up against the Detroit Lions, a team that even though they're ascending, Rodgers has zero respect for, they only scored 16 points. Rodgers threw a bad pick late after he could have got picked off two other times in the game. All I heard in that response, Hickey, was blame, 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 blame. I need to be put in a better situation. I'm not going to be willing to take part in a rebuild, which is fine. You shouldn't want to go through a rebuild. I could still be an MVP. But that doesn't sound like a guy, when you listen to that response, Hickey, that is a team guy. That doesn't seem like a guy who's concerned about winning a Super Bowl. All it seems like is Aaron Rodgers concerned about the way that he's viewed individually. And can he win another MVP or not? I don't know about you. I think he's come to peace with the fact that he's probably not going to win another Super Bowl. And if that's the case, like, why are you playing? But I hear that Rodgers response. I know we played it yesterday. I listen back to it. I hear more reaction. We'll get to Rob Gronkowski in just a second. That's alarming that the guy isn't even talking about winning a Super Bowl, but the first words about, like, out of his mouth about his future is, I need to be put in a good spot. The team needs to be better. And I still think if I'm in the right situation, I could win an MVP. Are you still playing to win for an MVP? Like, I think Rodgers has, what, four MVPs? Do people really remember how many MVPs you win? Is that what determines who's the greatest quarterback of all time? Or is it how many Super Bowls you got? And if Rodgers ends his career with only one Super Bowl, and there's some fan bases, Lions fans, Browns fans, Vikings fans, that would do unthinkable things to win one Super Bowl. But with how early he won in his career, and I know people say he's done things, and I said this before on the football field, that I've never seen. The guy is a great quarterback. The guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Don't get this wrong. But if he walks away with one Super Bowl, with how early he won it and never even got back to another one, in a weird way, it's kind of like disappointing what Rodgers did. And I know that could be selfish. I know that could be, when you're looking at it and thinking about it that way, you could say, oh, Zach, like, what are you talking about? We would just go get one ring on a lot of other teams. But a lot of Packers fans, when they say that, and I've called them spoiled before, get called spoiled because you had Favre, won a ring, Hall of Famer. Rodgers, won a ring, Hall of Famer. But if you only walk away with one ring, if you're Aaron Rodgers, even with how great your career is, in a bizarre way, it does feel like it is disappointing and you could have done more and you could have won more in the league. And you could point fingers and blame all the other people that you want. The last 3 years, even with how great that he played in the big moments, he's crumbled. And he has crumbled significantly.
I'll be honest, in that answer with that question, I don't have a problem with it. He's asked if he still has it. He's talking about himself. He still thinks he can play at a high level. I think it's important because that's a question we all ask, especially when you see how the last 2 months have gone, where the offense has stunk. He has looked terrible himself, missing throws, not playing well whatsoever. I think it's I can still play at a high level. I think it's.
I still think I can win an MVP. My follow up would be, well, do you still think you could win a Super Bowl?
To his credit, if you want to say that, he did talk about later, you know, he's not going to play if he doesn't have a chance to win a championship. So it's not like this is a guy who is a stat pattern and all
but
he cares about is
that?
Putting up numbers.
Do you buy that?
I do.
So you think if he doesn't feel that this Packers team could go win a Super Bowl next year, the guy that just signed an extension last year who supposedly knew that Davante Adams was going to leave, he would then say, I'm going to walk away from the money just because I don't think I could go win a Super Bowl. I don't buy that for a second. And also, who's the team that he's going to next year where you would say right away, yeah, he puts him in the Super Bowl contending? Like who are the teams that are going to make a play for Rodgers where if they get him, you automatically think he could get to a Super Bowl?
I mean, if it's one of the Jets, I think the Jets are a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know about that.
That's a team that's ready to go. They need a quarterback.
Super Bowl. They can't. I don't even think they win their division. Not that you have to win your division to get to a Super Bowl.
That doesn't mean much.
But Buffalo's much better. I would think maybe then they'd be the second best team in that division. But what makes me think Rodgers going from in a tough AFC too, in a wide open NFC where he currently is, Rodgers going from Green Bay to all of a sudden the Jets. I wouldn't think they're not a top five team right now where they would sit in the AFC if they go get Aaron Rodgers. And why would I think he should perform in the big moments? Because last 3 years he's failed in the big moments. I thought Rob Gronkowski hit the nail right on the head. And Gronk, of all people, is the voice of reason. This is Rob Gronkowski on Up and Adams with Kay Adams saying Aaron Rodgers focused on the wrong things.
He said, do I think I can still play? Of course. Can I play at a high level? The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Is the right situation in Green Bay or somewhere else? I'm not sure. I don't think you should shut down any opportunities. I think there's more conversations to be had. What's your take on that?
I'm totally fine with everything he said, except one major part, and that's the MVP again. It's just that I think I could win another Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then that would have been totally fine. Like, bro, like, why are you thinking MVP? Like, don't you want Super Bowls? Like, Super Bowls are I think, five times greater than an MVP award. Like, we all know that you won the MVP a few times now, but, like, you know, everyone would know even more how many more Super Bowls you've won than MVP. So that's why I'm just a little confused about that, you know, about that quote that he just had. I mean, it should be Super Bowls.
Gronk's 100% right. And this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we got a great Waffle House order and a very controversial pizza order when it comes with an NFL player and an NFL head coach. We'll get into that on the other side.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll continue the food conversation right now. Let's listen up to Trevor Lawrence. You win your first playoff game, second year in the league, and where's your first stop? Why did you end up going to a Waffle House? Here is the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And then last week, I told him, I was like, once we win on Sunday, we're going to Waffle House. So Marissa actually called and I talked to the Waffle House about like reserving part of it, and they were like, well, if you give us a heads up, we can kind of like clear some people out of one area and yeah, and have you guys some spots saved. So they did that, and it was great. We had like 20 guys there.
So I love that, Hickey, because usually when you think of a star, like Trevor Lawrence is a star quarterback, you go win a big playoff game. How many times do you see a player, whether it's in the NFL, NBA, whatever the sport it would be, they're parading through like a steakhouse, which no problem if you want to go sit down, have a filet, a little lobster mac and cheese, some cream spinach, and all that stuff. No problem with that. But you usually see it's in like an elegant place and everyone's standing up, go Trevor, go, or whoever the quarterback may be. Trevor Lawrence going to a Waffle House to be with just regular people and to get the standing ovation in Waffle House is one of the great things and one of the great decisions that I've seen from a quarterback post-game after winning a big game in a while. Because you usually think, like, all right, you go to a club or you go to, like, some fancy steakhouse. A Waffle House? That shows me that Trevor Lawrence, he has not allowed money and fame to get to, you know, to his head at all.
He is also dialed in on the Chiefs because he knows he's going to need all week to prepare. You can't be hungover on Sunday, celebrating the win out till 3 or 4 a.m., partying it up. You got to be laser focused, wake up Sunday morning, start watching that Chiefs defense, and no better way to kind of end the night than with and sure, you wake up feeling good than going to Waffle House.
Well, I don't know if you're actually right on that analysis, because let's hear the order of Trevor Lawrence. Here's his Waffle House order, and I'll tell you why you may be wrong on this.
That night, I got the Texas bacon cheesesteak with hash browns with cheese and a pecan waffle. So it just, it depends. Yeah, I was. So sometimes I get the all-star, you know, depends how I'm feeling.
So who knows if they were having a few drinks at Waffle House or not and how they were partying it up. But you hear that order, which is a great order, by the way. And Hickey's first reaction is, oh, well, he's all locked in on the Chiefs and now he'll sit back and he'll prepare for the game and have all that stuff. The one problem I have with that, Hickey, you don't think he's spending a little extra time on the toilet the next day? You don't think maybe he's devouring some Pepto-Bismol the next day? He could have had some stomach issues the next day that could have taken away from his preparation.
I don't know. That's a fire order. Yeah, you work up an appetite after you come back from 27-0. I think that's one that definitely you go to bed feeling full.
I'm not saying you're not feeling full, but the next day there's got to be some damage either coming out or still brewing around in your tummy. See, you're like
You can't bring the iPad in the bathroom.
Is that the most sanitary thing in the world?
You're sitting there, yeah.
Come on, Hickey.
And you're the one who brought it here in the first place.
Yeah, because there's no way that the next day, I can't believe we're going here, that is a firm, let's just say, number two. That's, you got to have some stomach pain and you got to have a little bit of a food hangover if we're going to keep this PG the next day. That's what I'm probably thinking when you go through that order. But it's a heck of a job by Trevor Lawrence. And you can be a regular person. Like, I know the Giants coming back on their flight. Daniel Jones, when teammates are trying to talk to him, or Saquon Barkley, they're buried right into that playbook. The next day, do I need my quarterback? Do I need my entire team all locked in? You could take 24 hours and enjoy it and get to all the preparation for the next opponent coming up on Monday. And I don't think there would be that much of a difference. So good on Trevor Lawrence. I love that he went to a Waffle House. Now, do you think there's going to be other quarterbacks around the league that when they win playoff games now, Trevor Lawrence will be a trendsetter? And they won't be going out to the club. They won't be going out to the fancy schmancy opulent steakhouses. And they'll go, okay, we got to go to whatever the equivalence is in other parts of the world of what the Waffle House is in Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence and company.
Depends on the quarterback. Depends where you are. For Joe Burrow, I don't think you're eating Skyline Chili. That's just, I think, a hard no, no shot in hell. If you're Josh Allen, you going to Barbell after? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. We know Russell Wilson's going to the steakhouse, but he's not in a position to win any big games right now. Also, let's hear from Nick Sirianni. This is Nick Sirianni on his meal of choice when watching the Giants-Vikings game from over the weekend.
I was like kind of craving a Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza, which is, I haven't had that in a while. That's not something I get to get at home. So we had that. It was in the offensive staff room. Yeah, I won't get into that, Howard.
Competitive advantage.
Yeah, the competitive advantage.
So you want to order Pizza Hut? Okay, I'm not going to trash him for the Pizza Hut order. With that being said, though, as someone that has lived in Philadelphia, and I'm sure all these pizza joints in Philadelphia would happily deliver to Nick Sirianni at the Philadelphia Eagles NovaCare Complex, how are you not ordering Angelo's in Philadelphia? Like, how are you not ordering Pizza Shack-a-Maxon as well? There's a lot of better quality pizza places in Philadelphia than Pizza Hut. And when I think of Pizza Hut, and I'll go back to my college days, if you're ordering Pizza Hut or Domino's, Papa John's, like whatever it is, that's because you got the munchies a little bit. Like if I'm thinking I'm ordering Pizza Hut, I got to do a little puff puff pass if I'm in that state of mind to go for the greasy Pizza Hut, Domino's, whatever it is. I thought the coach, especially with all the money that those guys made, could have got some better pizza in Philadelphia, Hickey. That's just me. What's your thoughts on the Pizza Hut order?
I've never had pizza in my life, so I cannot, I mean, I'll just assume that it's not very good. The one, I don't say it's an out for Nick Sirianni, because again, Pizza Hut wouldn't even be on the radar for me personally. Mm-hmm. When you want stuffed crust, that's where your options get insanely limited. And I don't know Philly like you do. I'm assuming the places you listed, I don't think they do stuffed crust, because not many places do stuffed crust. So you really work with a limited menu is what I'll give him credit for. If you really are saying, I need stuffed crust.
Now, I'm not claiming the coach was doing this, but is there maybe a little G-Pen action going on, little edible action when you're just watching a game? Because if you're ordering that type of pizza, I think you got to have some performance enhancers. That's just me. Like, if I'm going to Waffle House at 3 in the morning, I got a few drinks in my system. If I'm ordering Pizza Hut, I'm thinking it may be going down the marijuana road a little bit. That's just me. Now,
I guess we'll find out on Saturday night if the game plan for the Eagles is a lot of whack and they didn't learn anything from the game.
And Coach Nick Sirianni, I'm not saying he was doing that stuff. And who knows, these coaches are workaholics. So maybe he was just craving that. And you know, when you're working hard, you just crave something. But I was surprised to hear it was a Pizza Hut order. Real quickly, I'll give you the coaching matchup. Who has the advantage this weekend? Doug Peterson, Andy Reid?
Andy Reid.
I would agree, but Doug is a heck of a coach. Brian Daboll or Nick Sirianni?
Wow.
Both have been tremendous.
They have been. I guess I'll go Nick Sirianni because the talent's a little better and he's been doing a great job, but that's close.
Well, that's why I would go Brian Daboll, because he has less talent. He has his team in the playoffs. That's why I
think... He has beat the Giants twice. Sirianni's credit.
Sure, but they should beat them. I'm just saying I've been more impressed with the job that Daboll's done, even though Sirianni's been very impressive. Now, the two games they didn't have Jalen Hurts, they did lose both those games. Sean McDermott or Zach Taylor?
Sean McDermott.
Even with Zach Taylor getting them to a Super Bowl last year?
Yes.
Okay. I would agree with you on McDermott. Mike McCarthy or Kyle Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan.
I would agree as well. But all four of those are tough. Like, these eight coaches, sometimes you have coaches that are like remaining here in divisional round. You're like, don't know if I really love those coaches. Peterson, I love. Andy Reid's a phenomenal coach. You know that. He's going into the Hall of Fame. Daboll and Sirianni, early returns have been sensational. Zach Taylor just got the Bengals to the Super Bowl last year. McDermott, all he's done in Buffalo is make the playoffs year after year after year. Shanahan, we know, is a sensational coach. Just got to figure out how to finish games when having a big lead in a big spot. And they've won 11 in a row. McCarthy, I know a lot of people try to take away from Mike McCarthy and knock Mike McCarthy. We've been guilty of that. But Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl in this league. Mike McCarthy goes to Dallas, two back-to-back double-digit win seasons. And I do believe the Cowboys, I said this yesterday, I'll say it again today, I think they're very alive for this game up against the Niners. Where I see the spread at 4.5 in favor of San Francisco, I think this could be a three-point game. I would plus the points. I think that's going to be a wonderful way to conclude the divisional round weekend between Mike McCarthy and Kyle Shanahan, 49ers and Cowboys. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, updating the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio next. We call that segment the News Brief.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.